Speaking of things that are cold, though, it's time for our community segment for your Friday. And we've got Reading on Ice headed to you with Mary O'Connell. Today, we're talking all about what it takes for warehouse automation and how that looks in the cold chain space specifically. So, Mary, talk to us a little bit about running headfirst into the world of warehouse automation. When I think about cold chain, it's not really a place where I think about robotics working, but at the same time, I don't see why it couldn't, right?
Exactly. I mean, look, we all know how difficult it is to get staffing for warehousing. It's kind of a tedious job that not everyone wants to do. So take that and then put it in a building that is below freezing. And it's not great. No one really wants to go to work today, every day in a parka with gloves and have special handling of certain materials and all of that, or where you have to go put on more layers or more protective equipment to handle certain things. So it's one of those things where, you know, the labor, there is a labor problem in cold chain. It's just because nobody really wants to work in an ice box every day. So getting someone to do that is great. And that's why it's so important to maintain the staffing levels that you have, because it's absolutely crucial to keep those employees happy. But when it comes to warehouse automation, you know, that kind of feeds into that labor problem of, you know, if there's something tedious that they have to do that, you know, you can kind of automate or get a system to handle that, then that's going to be a huge help in the right direction. Automation doesn't necessarily have to be, you know, robots and, you know, state-of-the-art like warehouses that have the lights off and there's just a robot going around picking all the orders. It doesn't have to be that. It could be through technology and other aspects of it, through scheduling, through inventory management, with maybe the end game being one of those really fancy state-of-the-art warehouses that have robots that go and pick all the orders and the lights aren't even on in the place.
So, Mary, obviously we know that deployment and development of robotics, autonomous technology has been a really huge opportunity in the warehouse space. But when it comes to temperature controlled, are we looking at differences having to be made in the way that the actual technology is developed to be able to function in those places that are, you know, pretty cold? You're talking about at some spots 32 to 34 degrees if you're talking refrigerated food, and in some cases sub 20 degree, even close to 0 degrees when you're talking about frozen food.
I think yes and no for that technology that's getting developed. I think yes in the way that, you know, it's not going to be developed the same that you would develop something for a dry van shipment or something like that. It would be, you need to, you know, account for that temperature, and you can't necessarily put parameters on that temperature because it's not just, oh, it'll hit zero. No, because some of those temperatures go to negative 20, 30, 40 degrees Celsius. So that's where you really need to have that extra feature there that they can, you know, have that input or have that as a part of the data that's captured. Because a lot of times once your system's set up, it's not very good at adding on other things. So you need to really kind of design for that in the beginning. So that's something that's incredibly important to remember, that if you're traditionally used to just developing dry van software or something for flatbed or reefer, for flatbed or anything else that's not temperature controlled, that's not going to be something that you think about. So there are certain things to consider when you're developing developing technology or looking for a technology provider, but you'll be able to figure out pretty quickly if they've encountered some temperature controlled freight within a couple questions of that first initial meeting.
So we know that we talked about all of these little tiny things that are making the way that temperature control freight runs more efficient and some things that are working on their environmental footprint as well. We're looking at that being a good driver of the need to automate too, is the fact that if you've got these automation stations, that's a good rhyme there, automation stations, right? You're less likely to, I guess, forget, like say you forget to leave a door open or something like that, which it can make things more efficient because you're doing things, you don't have the room for human error, I guess is what I'm getting at.
Yeah, I would say that you're going to start, if you are going to start with the automation, it's going to cut down on some of those human error things, whether it's, you know, alerting you to a temperature change in the warehouse because someone left a door open, or, you know, alerting you to temperature changes in a room because maybe a condenser is failing or something like that, you're going to know about things ahead of time, which is infinitely crucial, because it's one thing if you have a dry van or a warehouse or a warehouse of dry goods that, oh, the door got open and it went from 70 degrees to 80 degrees, or, oh, it's really hot and we're in the summer in the desert. Naturally, our warehouse is going to be warm. I think that that's obviously a no-brainer. Like, nobody really cares if their jeans get hot before it arrives to them, because chances are it sat on their doorstep for a little bit getting hot, waiting for them to get to pick up that package. But when it comes to, you know, if I'm a warehouse and I have a whole bunch of customers' freight here, and, you know, I start to see a condenser failing, well, I have a very short window of time that I can get this solution fixed. So ideally, you know, you'll have that technology component that says, hey, condenser 2 in room 5 is going to start failing soon, or it starts to show signs of wear. That's where that, you know, that predictive maintenance technology comes in, and you say, okay, well, we need to go fix it, because if that condenser goes down, then suddenly all the product in that room is jeopardized. And, you know, we kind of lose our reputation of being a reliable partner to work with for this shipper. So it's something that, you know, I think it's incredibly crucial for a warehouse to lean into some sort of automation technology. It doesn't have to necessarily be robots, but something to kind of work for them, so that way they can work smarter, not harder.
So, Mary, of course, everybody's big concern when it comes to deploying autonomous technology or robotics technology is the price tag. It doesn't come cheap, and if it does come cheap, it's likely not very good. When we're talking about developing those extra special things that need to come with a cold chain warehouse system as well as with that robotic system, what are we looking at price tag wise? Is this something that can be built out slowly one thing at a time, or is it something that can be rapidly deployed for a heftier price?
I mean, ideally, you would just cut a check, build a new warehouse, let everything stay to the line, you know, it's all beautiful, it's all perfect, but not everyone has a casual, like, you know, $300 million laying around. And if they do, well, then reach out to me, because I know a way to spend some of it. But in reality, you know, nobody really has those budgets that basically are a blank check. So it's really a matter of, okay, well, what does this warehouse look like? What are some wins that I can get? What are some automations? And then also, what's that point where maybe, you know, there's not necessarily, I'm not getting any more return on that investment, and I need to look at retrofitting a warehouse or building a new one. So that doesn't necessarily have to be the case every time, but, you know, no matter what your budget is, there's going to be a solution that you can implement, whether it's kind of a new scheduling system or an inventory management system, or even some predictive maintenance technology. Excuse me. It's really important that, you know, you find something that works for your budget that's also going to help long term. So you want to get those software systems and those components of technology that are really going to be an investment in the future, that obviously don't have the hundreds of millions of dollars of price tags, because sadly, not everyone has that laying around.
And if you do, as you mentioned, reach out not only to Mary, but also to me. I've got some ways that I could spend that money. Mary, thank you for joining us this morning for the show. Coming up later on today, who is your guest and where can people find it?
Yeah, so today we really dive down into warehouse automation, and it should be a really fun episode. It comes out today at 2:00 Eastern time, just like we do every Friday. And we have Jonas Svartau from Newcold, and we really kind of, and I mean, Newcold is doing some really amazing things with technology in warehouses. So we'll do that, and just keep watching FreightWaves TV today.
Awesome, Mary. Thank you for that. And we will catch up with you later on today.
Thanks, guys.